I was getting used to having at least some people in the sanctuary, and now we'll go back to online service, and I miss you. Hopefully soon we can get together again. Do you sometimes feel like you are spending all your time managing crisis, running from one crisis to another, putting out fire from here and there? And at the end of the day, you may be worn out, you may be drained of energy, yet you feel like you didn't really accomplish anything of real significance. Well, if you ask me, I would say yes. Oftentimes I feel that way. What is important is seldom urgent, and what is urgent is seldom important, but we tend to go with the urgent matter first. We feel like if you don't care of urgent matters, that life is going to stop, so we tend to the needs of urgency first. And that's human nature. That's why when we tend to the crisis, it seems like our 24 hours a day is not enough. We run around the town, or we do so many things that we tend to lose our focus. Though many people in the world may live this kind of life, God is calling us to live a different kind of life. God is saying in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, this is what he says: be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Here it's indicating that we ought to live our life not as a foolish person, but as a wise person. And the way that you can live as a wise person is two things. First is you cannot waste your time. You have to make the best of every opportunity you have. And the second is for us to discern the will of God as we live our life. We want to be wise people, not foolish people. And through today's scripture and the lesson, we want to learn what is important things in life that needs our attention. Rather than running around trying to put out the fire, we want to build a fire for the future. Israelites were taken out of Egypt, and they were freed, and now they were going through wilderness. And as they were going through wilderness, God gave them 10 commandments. And what happened today's passage happened right before God gave them the 10 commandments. Moses, after freeing his people, he was given a new job, and that job was job of being a judge. People believe that Moses hears from God, and whenever they had a problem or issue or dispute, they came to Moses to hear the answer. The problem was there were over 2 million people following him, and there were 2 million people who wanted to hear the will of God and voice of God through Moses. And Moses had to do this job all alone. Imagine how he felt. From morning till night, the Bible says that he was tending to the needs of people as they wanted to hear from God. And I'm sure that he was tired, and people who were waiting for their turn, they grew tired. But there was no other way. There was no other answer. And there was no other method of doing it. So I'm sure that though Moses was, he was just tired. And only thing that he could say to himself was, well, what can I do? And even the people who had to wait from morning till night, even if their turn didn't come, they would have said, what can I do? Well, some of us right now, as we are going through the busyness of life, you may have the same answer. What can I do? What can I change that may make it different? Well, looking at my present situation, I have no other choice. Well, to those kind of people, God is saying through prophet Isaiah in chapter 43, verses 18 through 19, this is what he says: forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and a stream in the wasteland. God says, forget the former things, how you've been doing things, even though you were just putting out fire. Forget those matters. God is saying, I'm going to give you a new plan, new life. And that life is miraculous life. It says the way in the desert. Well, if you know anything about the desert, it is impossible to make a way in the desert. And streams in the wasteland? That's impossible to do. But God is saying, I'll make impossible into a possibility. So we do have hope. So we want to kind of, you know, see what God can do in my life in order to bring not urgency of matters at hand, but for us to really focus our life on the important things. As Moses was just tired to death, there was someone who was watching him and who was concerned, and it was his father-in-law, Jethro. And Jethro says this, what you're doing is no good. No good. He was not only concerned, but he saw the inefficiency, and he saw this as an unwise way of doing things. If Moses knew there was another way, that he would have taken it. And Jethro suggests two things to do. Instead of you putting out fires here and there, there are two things that you can do. First is this, to distribute the workload. And he tells him, you just, you know, have people in charge of 1,000 people, 100 people, 50 people, and 10 people, and let those leaders who are chosen as godly people take care of the matter that you are doing right now. You don't have to do it alone. And second thing is this, Moses, instead of you just letting go of everything, you do only the important matters, things that are big, things that are important. You focus your time and your energy on that. And this should come to us as a good news. Instead of me having a Messiah complex and having to resolve everyone's problem and put out all the fires, that we can distribute the work. Because God did not send us into this world for us to take care of matters alone. If you look at the creation story in Garden of Eden, God created and he was so happy. It was good, good, good. And he made man and he said it was very, very good. But in chapter 2 appears something that God is not so happy about. He said it wasn't good for men to be alone. And he made a suitable helper. Well, the Bible doesn't say that God made a lover for Adam, but God made suitable helper, someone who can help him, someone who can share the load together. So that gives an answer of what it means to have a happy couple, happy family. Couples are made so that they can help each other. Happy couples are the couples who share the load together. And even when the child is born, they're not born alone, but they're born with parents. When they're born, they're put in charge of their welfare upon the parents. That is true of church as well. Church operates as a community. We share the load of work. If you look at the pastoral staff, there's senior pastor myself, but then there are a lot of associate pastors who are here to share the burden, share the load. Do you know what you call not a very healthy church? A church that relies on only one person. One person has to be the one who makes all the decisions. One person has to do all the work. That church will not last long. When I was living in LA, I was a Lakers fan, and Lakers usually rely on superstars. They bring in like Kobe Bryant. They bring in like, you know, big names. Well, back when they had Magic Johnson and those guys, and they rely on the superstars, and when they leave, that's when the club collapses. God wanted us, he planned for us to share the load of life together. So what do we do? What is important to us? Well, Stephen Covey, in his book, Seven Habits of Successful People, you know, this is what he talks about, that you have to manage your time. Things you need to kind of prioritize what is important, what is urgent. And then, you know, you got to first do what is urgently important first. And then what is not important and what not urgent, put that last. So that way you can be successful. Well, our goal is not to succeed in life. Our goal is for us to be a holy child of God. And what do we need to do? We need to really ask God, God, what is important to you? What is important to you that you are willing to just bet all your chips on this one, that you put all in? And if you look at the life of Jesus Christ, we find the answer. In order for God to restore relationship with humanity, God sent Jesus Christ to us. So in other words, what is important to God is relationship. Jesus was asked the question, what is the greatest commandment? And this is what Jesus said, two relationships. relationship with God and relationship with one another. To God, having relationship, continuing relationship, restoring relationship, building relationship is important to him. He was willing to even invest his only son, Jesus Christ, so that the relationship can be restored. So we need to really look at what is important in my life, what is important to God. It is relationship. And where do we begin? We begin in the smallest of community called family. Family is a place where we learn about relationship. We practice relationship, and relationships are formed. If we have a healthy relationship at home, then we are going to really grow up as a healthy person. But if we don't, that we might have a problem and issues with the relationship, even in the larger community called society. If you look at the Bible, Jesus said the greatest commandment is loving God and loving people. Now, this loving relationship with God begins at home. Joshua, in his later days before he died, he proclaimed, "As for me and my household, we are going to serve the Lord." I don't know about other people. I don't know about other communities. I don't know about other families. But as for me and my people, he proclaimed that we are going to serve the Lord. Well, this proclamation has to happen in our own household in order for us and our children to be in relationship with God. That Jesus Christ is not a guest in our house, but he is the owner, he is the king, he is the Lord of our household. He is a foundation, and he's a pillar of our household. So where do we learn, or where do the family members learn how to worship God and how to make Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? Is by watching parents. So that's why the spirituality of parents is so important. Because spirituality of our children get formed not in Sunday school at church, but at homes. They watch parents, how they worship, and they learn to worship. As I grew up, being a PK, my father being the pastor, for me, what I learned was that worship on Sunday is not an option. It's a must. You don't, even if you are sick, you go get sick at church. And if you're going to throw up at church and just continue to worship, that was not an option. In fact, that was how my parents were. Even when my father was sick, he stood in the pulpit to preach the message. And I learned that worship is not an option. It is a necessity of our lives. Right now we are worshiping through internet. We're sitting in front of a screen. That doesn't minimize the worthiness of worship. You see, as we're worshiping, even online, there are people, eyes, watching us, how we are doing it. And whenever family get together, the conversation has to have some sort of a relationship with God-building stuff. You know, in our household, you know, I say this, and now our kids are repeating it. And this is what we usually say. The biggest failure in your life is succeeding without God. And I tell them, you know, kids, you are moving up in your corporate ladder, and you're just doing a lot of great things, and you are just making money and all these things. And let me tell you, the biggest failure in life is succeeding without God. Because if you succeed without God, what's left is just wild living afterwards. All relationships begin at home. Little babies, their relationship with their parents is what forms them. As they watch their parents, how they interact, their understanding of marriage begins to form. I used to do a lot of premarital counseling when I was doing English ministry, and I always ask this question: how do you view your parents' marriage? Because depending on how you view your parents' marriage, you are going to determine how your marriage is going to be. Some people say, well, you know, I don't know how they had us because I never saw them together. Well, that's kind of weird, isn't it? But that's the view of their parents, that they are not very expressive in their love, and that's how they are. But, you know, they're committed to one another. It's important how we are perceived by other family members. I've been part of father school for many years, and a lot of fathers come and they share their stories of their fathers. And oftentimes it's time of just pain and sometimes of celebration, but because of violent father who was absent, they have regrets, they have scar and pain in their life. I'm sure their father did everything that he could in order to provide for the family. But instead of working on the important things, some fathers worked on the urgent matters only, that he had to provide best thing for the family, that he has forgotten to build relationship. And now the children, what they saw and what they received, perceived was something that is not very healthy. Out of a father school that was done in English, there was one guy that stood out. He was like really attentive to the lessons and shared a lot. And a few years later, I saw him and he was seemed different. And I asked him, you know, what happened? And this is what he shared. After father school, he realized that he was investing in the wrong things. He should have been investing in his season of life. Right now, his children are young. And what is important to him at this point in life was not to provide the best for his children, but to be there with them, to build relationship, to build memories. He was at a very prestigious firm making like six figures, and he lived in a big house with not only two cars, him and his wife, but he had a third car that was his hobby car, sports car. But after he realized that in his season of life, he needs to invest time with his children in building memories, he decided to downsize his life. Small house, get rid of a car, expensive car, and small car. And he left his company to go to a company where he would have more time to spend with his children, so that he can build a relationship. And he said, it's been such a blessing. It's been such a joy. The whole family is happy. His wife is happy. And they're celebrating how God has spoken to them to wake up and smell the coffee. And it was an exciting thing to hear from him. And I wish more of us would have that kind of awakening, that we can invest things that are important. Because in family, more than what we give them, expensive gifts and, you know, nice cars and designer clothes, what is important is relationship. In investment, we need to really kind of look at what is the return. If I invest in this, what is the return? Well, let me tell you, one of the best returns that you can have in life is if you invest in relationship. This is not only true in family members, but also in our society as well. There's a company called Infotech, and then this guy who started in Silicon Valley, Infotech, he built four other IT companies, and his name is Steve Casey. And he credits, the reason why I could be successful in what I do is because of a relationship that I made with people. I went to MIT and I learned the best of engineering skills. However, I never learned the human relationship. And this is what he says, continues. You know, these days people ask me, if people were to ask me, if you were to choose between the skill you learn as an engineer and the skill you can learn in human relationship, what would you choose? I would definitely go with human relationship. That's how important relationship is. And in Carnegie Institute, they say that they kind of, you know, did the study, and people who are successful, only 15% of people who are successful, they rely on their skill. They were so good in what they do, they became successful because of their expertise. But 85% of the people who succeeded, they succeeded because of a good human relationship. It just shows us how important relationship is for us to really find happiness and worthiness in our lives. Even as a pastor, my goal is not to be the best preacher, but to be a person who has a good relationship. People don't talk about how successful they are because of their bank account. We talk about how wonderful they are because of their personality and the relationship that they have with one another. Well, how can I? How can I improve on the relationship? Let me tell you, it's simple. Simpler than you think. It is by obeying what God tells us through the Bible. If you just obey what God is teaching us through the Word, you can have the best relationship because God teaches us. In relationship, you need to forgive. You need to wait, be patient. You need to keep on giving. You need to consider other person better than yourself. All these things that God is emphasizing to us, these can really help us to build relationship. During pandemic, I'm hearing two stories of families. Nowhere in history we were put in this position right now. We are not able to spend time with other people in society. Even at church, we cannot spend time together. But in family, we are put in that place where we have to spend time together. Nowhere in history, this kind of situation was given to us. Some families don't know what to do. They haven't worked on relationship from the beginning, so they don't know what to do. They don't have much relationship. So right now, the time that they have to spend together is very uncomfortable. It becomes stressful. At times, there's quarrels and there's unhappiness. But the family members who's been investing in relationship, this is the best time of their life. They can spend so much time together, just not only worshiping and singing, but doing a lot of building memories together. This pandemic time will come to an end, I think sooner than later. And we're going to go back to the rat race. We're going to be just putting out fires that are urgent, that are in need of my help. But one thing that we need to remember is we cannot lose what is important for the sake of what is urgent. What is important to God and to all of us is a relationship. So remember, no matter how busy you may get, after all this is gone and over, remember what is important to God and what is important to you, and invest in that, for the return will be great. Amen. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for your Holy Spirit who convicts our hearts, who challenges and moves our hearts so that we can take our bold step to go forward in building relationship with you and with one another. Lord, remove any kind of anxiety and any kind of fear within our hearts so that we can truly consider what is important to you to be our importance as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.